Hi, welcome to the Social Media Podcast and Internet Consumer Behavior Week 3. Today we have a special guest, Rob Williams from Orange Jack LLC, which is a new company that Rob started in part to help organizations figure out how they can use social media to help further their purpose. So welcome, Rob. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
First, maybe you can give us a little bit of background about your company and you and what you can do or want to do to help organizations use social media.
Okay, well, my personal web history is I got started 10, 15 years ago learning how to code and design web pages. And I, after a few years, I finally decided that was enough for me. And I wanted to get back into marketing, internet marketing, which was my degree was in marketing in business. So I started paying attention to how do you rank well in search engines? How do you use the different tools that are available? And I started moving down the social media path when blogging and Facebook and MySpace were all taking off. And so it's been my desire, my background has been more of from a communications and a marketing perspective. How do we use the web well? So earlier in 2008, I decided to begin a new company that would help others be more effective online by helping them think through an overall internet strategy and whatever pieces need to be involved in that, but particularly with social media and the new ways of communicating and interacting with others.
Well, can you give us an example of an organization that has used social media effectively?
Earlier, there were some hurricanes that were coming through Florida and into the panhandle and all across the Gulf. And one of the nonprofit groups, the Red Cross, was really doing a fantastic job of taking advantage of several different tools, social media tools. I was really impressed with them. They were using Twitter as their main mode of fast communication about where they were setting up, tips about how to survive a hurricane, where they would have locations. So they were able to broadcast that quickly. And when the eye of the storm was projected to move across sometimes to other states, they were switching their feed over to other people, other local chapters who were saying, here's what we have, here's what we're doing. And Twitter was the main vehicle, but they were also using audio through a service called Utterly, where they would record maybe 3 minutes worth of calm voice of this is what's going on, this is what we're doing, here's who we are. And, of course, that would cross over to Twitter. And so they were really using it effectively and not just communicating to the people who need to hear what's going on, but also to those of us who were observing and watching. We were fascinated because we were watching how an organization was trying to stay on top of everything and then being clear and focused about what they were doing. And I think as a result, definitely increased their brand awareness, and other people who wanted to eventually make donations felt like, gosh, the Red Cross, they were doing such a great job. That is a group that I want to be behind, a group that I want to help.
And I think that the point that you raised there about sort of brand awareness and spillover effect of using the social media that way is a really interesting point. I think a lot of people look at social media and a lot of other forms of internet marketing with an eye toward how can this directly, immediately add to the bottom line, or in a nonprofit organization, you know, add to maybe the number of new donors or whatnot. But there is some possible branding effect from being able to actually just have your name out there in a very positive light in the example that you gave, where they're really helping people in a way that is very, very useful. From a business standpoint, where do you see social media marketing helping, and what kinds of things do you think have worked and may work in the future?
Well, I think the same model is there. I think particularly with any sort of internet technology, you have to balance between who is it you're trying to communicate with and what is it you want them to do? And then figuring out, well, what is that technology piece, that media piece that goes in between? So for businesses, I think it depends on what it is they're actually wanting to accomplish. If you're wanting to publish your latest deals, that's one way to use it. Dell has been a great example of publishing every day or every so often what their deals are for the day, what's on sale, Zappos.com has done the same thing, where they have given away free shoes or free products, but only letting people know through Twitter. So only a smaller audience would know about that, but a loyal audience. But the idea is, with the audiences that you want to communicate with, how do you want to show up to them? What is it you want to communicate with them, and for what reasons? And do they want to receive those communications in the format that you're thinking and considering using? For example, with Twitter or Facebook or any of them, with Facebook, are the people that you're going to communicate with, are they in Facebook? Are they on MySpace? Are they using Twitter or Flickr or YouTube or any of them? If they're going there and they're using that, then how can you use that as well? Join the conversation. Be a part of what they are wanting to do, what your audience is wanting to do, and meet them where they are and communicate with them. Obviously, you can sell. You can throw pitches and all of that. But social media is really allowing more of the interaction. And I think a lot of marketers are a little leery of social media because now we have interaction. Traditional marketing has been, we're going to shout at our customers and at our potential customers, this is what we want, this is what we want you to know. Now with social media, they can talk back and say, hey, we like what you're offering, or we don't like what you're offering. And now marketers have the opportunity to respond to that and say, well, now what should we do? And it can be inside communities, outside of communities, you know, specific areas, but I think it's an interesting challenge now with interacting back and forth. Who are we going to work with, and how do we want to communicate with them in a way that they want to receive it? So it's a fine balance between giving them what they want, but also trying to accomplish what we want.
And I think in the class, one of the readings is from a book called Buying In, and the author of the book coined the term marketing to mean that people are no longer that receptive to traditional forms of marketing. So companies are learning to be a lot more creative in the things that they do, and a lot of times their marketing isn't directly targeted toward, I want to sell you this product. It's about developing relationships with their customers. And I think that's a lot of what happens in social media too. As you were mentioning, it's now sort of a two-way conversation, where all marketing used to be basically a one-way conversation between the company and the potential customer. Now the customer can talk back. And so social media has changed the way that we behave and changed the way that companies have to market to people. What do you think about the ways that people can talk back to companies? I mean, there's certainly a lot of options out there for doing that and kind of voicing your opinions, positive or negative, about a company. How effective do you think that is, and what kinds of things do you think might be happening on the company's end to try to react to those things?
Now that the barriers for anyone to publish anything online are so low, people can now publish anything quickly and effectively. So now that voice for consumers is really raised. So now people are talking on their blogs. They're talking about what they like, they don't like. They're talking on Twitter about what they like and don't like, with brands, communities, Facebook, all sorts of different places. To your question, what are companies doing and what should they do? Well, I'm finding a lot of companies aren't paying attention to what's going on. The trend is becoming more of companies starting to pay attention, because I think there's been some stigmas, and probably rightfully so, like when bloggers first started. a blog compared to mainstream media. How can you trust a blogger when they haven't gone through the credentials of what they're publishing? Well, as more people are publishing, traditional media can't always get to, the mainstream media can't always get someone into that location to confirm everything. So what is the groundswell saying? What are the people saying? So more and more that's happening. What companies need to be doing is monitoring those conversations. Some have chosen to host those conversations themselves by creating their own communities and inviting people in and saying, you can feel free to comment on our brand anywhere on the internet that you like, but we would also like to host that conversation ourselves. Dell has done this, Starbucks has done this, where they build a community and allow consumers to publish whatever comments they have, ideas, suggestions, and then people vote them up or down, and it gives, or leave comments on it, and it gives the company the advantage of being able to hear directly from their customers of what they like and don't like. So it helps them not in controlling the conversation, but being able to monitor it better. And in some cases, that actually improves their branding a little bit because they're hosting and they're willing to listen to the conversation. But at the same time, one thing that can be very appealing for kind of your average blogger or person, this happened to me, for example, one of my favorite job search websites is Indeed.com. And one day I wrote a blog post about some of the top ways of finding a job, and I included using Indeed. Within a few days, someone from Indeed left a comment on my blog because they were monitoring. Now, they don't necessarily, they don't follow my blog, but they were monitoring who's talking about their brand. And so when they commented, that made me feel a little bit better. Hey, this company really is good. I like them. We interacted a little bit and they sent me a t-shirt. So I got a free t-shirt out of the deal. But what it did was makes me feel a little bit better. So what that does is when companies are out monitoring what's being said, if it's negative, they can help address it right there on the spot. Great customer service. Or if it's positive, they can reinforce their fans. These are people who are already publishing. They already have an audience. So give them more of an opportunity to be happy about their brand, about what they're doing. Dell did this for me as well. I was complaining on Twitter because my Dell laptop broke, the monitor broke, and they initiated a conversation with me. I didn't do it for Dell to initiate with me, but they initiated, and after some conversation back and forth, they found a little $10 piece that I needed to buy from eBay to fix it. I ordered it from eBay, put it on into my computer, and my monitor is working again. And that was all because Dell was just monitoring my complaints on Twitter.
Wow, that's great that they're proactive enough to be monitoring and following up, because that's mm-hmm. definitely a key element of the whole thing too, is you can't just monitor it and not do anything about it, but if you're going to be affected, you have to actually respond to what's happening out there. And you gave some really good examples of positive ways to respond, but there have also been examples of negative ways to respond in companies that have kind of gotten a lot of grief out there in the mm-hmm. blogosphere or other places for responding in a way that wasn't quite as effective.
Motrin is a company that posted a site a little while ago that many seemed demeaning towards women. And they left it online, and inside Twitter and inside other places inside social media started talking about it and giving a lot of negative social media press about it. And Motrin didn't do anything about it for a few days. So all it did was build and swarm. And so the name Motrin, the brand, started switching from pain reliever to a real pain. They weren't listening to anybody. And then they put out an apology that many felt still didn't really address anything. I don't know how Motrin has handled that since then, but It is a small example of just not handling it well. Really, the biggest way of not handling things well is to ignore it and to think that bloggers or social media people are insignificant and not important. That's probably the biggest way of not or having a negative experience from the company's standpoint in dealing with negative comments, is not doing anything. I haven't really seen many companies go in and do something really stupid and comment negatively and ruin their brand, because most companies are PR people at heart, and so they kind of know that. But what they tend to do is just ignore it.
I do think that there are a lot of companies who are stuck in the old mindset of what marketing is, and they're not aware, or they're not sure how to handle all of the stuff that's happening out there online about them, and so they're just sitting or maybe trying to figure it out. But at this point, I'd say for their own self-interest, it's definitely time for them to be paying attention. One of the things that we're talking about in the class this week is targeted ads, and people's we're actually taking a look at some different Facebook profiles and seeing the different kinds of ads that people get on there. What do you think about the effectiveness of those kinds of ads? You know, for instance, the ads that I get on Facebook would be different than the ads that you get based on the information they know in our profiles.
I would think in theory it's a great idea, because the more contextualized it is, the better. And that goes for, I mean, that's the model that Google has been using for years. That's what Facebook is using. But I wonder, and I don't have any numbers or proof of this, but just conceptually or philosophically, if you're in Facebook and you're wanting to interact with your friends, and someone that you don't know is giving you an ad for something that you're not sure about, I think it's less effective there than it is in a place like on Google, where you're searching something big and not caring who or what your responses are. When you're in social media or you're in Facebook, you are now in an area where you're wanting your friends to, where you're wanting your friends to give you suggestions and all. Google is kind of like going out into the street and saying, hey, does anyone know where I can buy a certain product? And different people respond. And you don't really care if someone offers you an advertisement during that. But if you were to be at a cocktail party and talking with your friends, and you're asking for whatever, or just interacting with them, and then someone shows up and says, hey, I've got something to sell you that I think you might be interested in. Well, now the setting is different, and the feeling is not as strong or as accepting. But that's not to say that it doesn't work, because if it's highly relevant, or it's something that seems fun, or something that would be interesting to the people who are, like you said, your advertisements are going to be different than my advertisements. If it's relevant to you, then perhaps it's got a chance to work. But I think inherently, and the more focused a group is, the less likely outside advertisements become as relevant.
The fact that the ads are so targeted, or they're able to be so targeted, is a plus. But the fact that the people who are there aren't necessarily there looking for any of those products or services that are being kind of pitched there on Facebook, that's a negative, because the purpose for Facebook or other kinds of social networking sites like that is not that we're out there looking for something to buy.
Yeah, I think that's the trade-off. But I think eventually, as we get more and more use of this, because I think we all agree that, well, somebody has to foot the bill. And I think we're going to be more and more used to advertisements, and also I think it's going to be more relevant and better as we get more used to it.
Well, Rob, where do you see all of this stuff going for, say, for a medium-sized business? Should they be out there a lot on the social networks and participating, or should they be sitting back waiting to see what happens?
Well, it depends on what they're wanting to do. And this is why I feel like I'm more of an internet strategist at heart. What is it you want to accomplish and what pieces should you employ? Which parts should you be involved in? Which mediums should you be involved in? And then start making decisions. Where is your audience, and what is it you're wanting to do? Are they on Facebook? Then let's go there. But what I see is there are more and more ways of publishing. So because there's so many different areas and places for people to publish their content, it's getting more and more difficult for anyone to monitor where those conversations are happening. So I think in the future, we're seeing it now, is better aggregation for all of these pieces. Live streaming is I am seeing as a large and a fast growing area, because might publish something on YouTube and might publish something on Twitter and publish something on Flickr. But as a company, I don't necessarily want to send my clients to three different websites. I want to send them to one and aggregate what I'm doing into one place. So I think that's going to be more of the trend of taking advantage of these tools. And because each one has its own network, YouTube has its own network when you have your own YouTube channel, and you'll have crossover for, say, your own website or for your Flickr or for anything else. But pulling it all together into one spot, I think, is where all of this is going to be going. Facebook is doing this a lot more of aggregating, letting you go outside of Facebook to publish photos, publish anything you want. You don't have to use Facebook's own photo publishing and all of that. You can aggregate all of that back in. So when a company is trying to decide how do they want to interact, again, I think it goes back to what are the ways that you are most comfortable in publishing? Are you good at videos? If you're not, stay out of YouTube. Are you good at audio? Do you have good voices? Do you have content that you're ready to publish on an ongoing basis? Do you want to look more personable? How do you want to interact with people? Then start deciding which services would be best for us to use. Build your communities there, but then aggregate everything back to your hub so that you have one place you can send your clients, your potential clients, and say, here's where we are on the web. You can certainly join us over there and join us over there and participate in these different spots. But this is our hub. This is where you're going to find us. This is where you're going to interact with us the best. But we'll be paying attention out there as well. So I think the future is going to be bringing the appropriate social media tools, aggregating them inside one hub. Because I still think, as spread out as we are, and we like to be, one of the things that has made Facebook popular, one of the things that made AOL very popular early on, was it was a way to bring all the different aspects into one spot. And we like that. We like our inbox, or we like our text messaging. We like the one place where we get all of our content. So live streaming it, pulling it all together, aggregating, I think that's going to be the future of how social media is going to be published and channeled. And then the interactive side is going to continue to be interactive in the various places, but as much as possible in formats that the customers want to receive it in, whether it's on their iPhone or as a text message or as an RSS feed or as an email. It doesn't really matter. How do they want to see it, and make sure that you're publishing it and making it available to them in that format so that they can consume it the way, on their terms, the way they like it. But at the same time, there's the balance between how they want to receive it, what they want to receive, and what is it you're wanting them to be able to do.
One last question, and this is not particularly related to businesses or organizations using social media, but to us as individuals. And do you have any advice or suggestions for us to be able to effectively use things, and what kinds of things should we do to make sure we don't end up getting in trouble with those things?
Well, one basic rule of thumb about publishing is don't publish anything that you're going to end up regretting. Different people use different standards in trying to figure that out. Some say, I'm not going to publish anything that I wouldn't want my wife or my kids or my mom to read. Some people don't use those standards. But one of the things, particularly for college students, is, boy, don't publish anything that any potential employer can see or would look at and say and make a decision. You wouldn't want to sabotage your interview before you even get there. So I would say be cautious about what you're doing, because when it's online, even password protected, say like in Facebook, all a potential employer has to do is join and take a look and see what you're saying. But at the same time, that doesn't mean to stay away. Be yourself, be social, go to the forums and the places that you feel most comfortable. Facebook, I believe, is one of the easiest and best places to start because it gives you so many different tools and methods for publishing and connecting with people. But if you want to do it individually, create a blog, start publishing content that you want to publish and talk about, particularly around a niche, is always great. Get people to follow and build a community that way. Using Twitter to do short communications with your followers, with your community. If you like photography, take pictures, use Flickr. Join different groups and share your photos with others and have conversations with them. Same with YouTube. How do you like to publish? What are you good at doing? Join those communities, interact with people, create those communities, and then my personal opinion, then aggregate them all together. Or use Facebook or any kinds of ways to pull all that together and remain active. Publish and be friends with people. Online, the rules still apply. You still have to be human. There's still social conduct that you do offline that still apply online. It's just you're doing it in different ways. You act differently at a cocktail party that you do at a movie theater or at a seminar. But the same norms and mores of how society interacts still applies. In all of those cases, and it applies in all of the different social media mediums, if you will, when you're online.
Great. Well, Rob, thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming in and talking with us. And you can check out Rob's website at
orangejack.com.
Great. Again, thank you, Rob, and good luck.
Thank you.